He claimed they could begin moving in equipment in 4 days. The trim and painting would be done in 5. That was better than they'd contracted for. When they started to go back, there was a man in a white tropical suit waiting on the other side of the moat, an uncomfortable-looking guard at his side.
"Mr. Halliburton, he..."
Halliburton cut him off with a gesture.
"Who are you, and who are you working for?"
"Dr. Franklin Nesbitt," he said. "Chief of NASA Advanced Planning." He was a tanned, muscular man with close-cropped white hair who stood absolutely still, except for offering his hand. Russell took it. "We've had correspondence."
"Of a sort," Nesbitt said. "You basically said that whatever I was selling, you weren't buying."
"That's still true," Halliburton said. "You have no jurisdiction here."
"Nor claim any. But I have an offer you might find interesting."
"No, you don't. You've come a long way for nothing."
"Jack," Russell said, "we can at least be civil." To Nesbitt, "They're serving tea at the hotel. It would be nice to talk to somebody who isn't a reporter." He called ahead while they walked to the Jeep, and by the time they got to the hotel, their private dining room was set with crisp linens and heavy silver. An Irish woman brought in tea and trays of trimmed sandwiches and pastries.
"My indulgence," Russell said. "Jack is more like beer and potato chips." "Total barbarian," Halliburton said, snagging a watercress sandwich as he sat down. "So, what do you have that's so interesting? What do you have that's interesting at all?"
The other two men waited while the woman poured tea and left.
"General or specific?" Nesbitt said.
"General," Russell said.
He rubbed his forehead, and for a moment you could see the 7 time zones of jet lag.
"Basically, and expecting initial rejection, I'm offering you our expertise for free."
"Right about that," Jack said. "The rejection."
"If we did seek outside help," Russ said, "why should it be you rather than the Europeans or Japanese?"
"We're older and larger, not in terms of money, true, but as a research organization."
"We are doing research here," Jack said, peering doubtfully into a sandwich. "But we're primarily a for-profit organization, one that doesn't have the faintest idea of what it will find, but we have a good chance that it will be earth-shaking. I've sunk most of a large fortune into this. I took on Dr. Sutton and his team because I felt I could trust them. In exchange for keeping their work secret, they are limited partners as well as salaried employees. If things go well, they all get a small percentage of what should be an astronomical return. If there's any leak, anything, they all get nothing."
"We're prepared to allow you to keep all financial returns from anything our people discover."
"People. That's the problem, Dr. Nesbitt. As an organization, NASA can promise anything it wants. But if one of your people stumbles on an anti-gravity machine, I think he or she might trade a job with NASA for limitless wealth."
Nesbitt nodded amicably, tasted his tea, and sifted some sugar into it.
"Your investment is, what, about a third of a billion euro dollars?"
"Close enough."
"Then let me go from the general to the specific. We're prepared to match your funds. Wipe the slate clean."
"In exchange for?" Russ asked.
"A team of 12 researchers who would clear every publication with you and also assign any present or future profits to you."
He looked at Jack over the rim of his teacup and sipped.
"Up in my room, I have a long contract to that effect, which I'm told covers everything. Also, dossiers of the 12.
"Including you?"
"I wish, but no. I'm just an administrator who loves science. I don't think you'd be impressed by my physics BS from Arkansas."
Jack smiled.
"Maybe more by that than by your MBA from Harvard." He tapped his hearing aid. "Wonderful machines, these."
Nesbitt didn't blink.
"Is it tempting?"
"Of course it is," Jack said harshly.
"Jack, we agreed from the get-go. No government, no military applications."
"We'd be amenable to that. It's not what we're looking for."
"What are you looking for?"
"Half our team are exobiologists. It's not so much a what as a who."